Hey, welcome back to Ag Day here on 96.9 WILO, and we're also streaming on HoosierLandTV.com. I'm Adam Shanks, the Ag and Natural Resources Educator here for Clinton County, along with my co-host, Melissa Miller, the Ag and Youth Specialist for Casper Media. So we're going to start into our roundtable safety discussion that we've been pretty excited about today. So I'm going to allow these guys, I'm going to go around the room and let them introduce themselves, what they do, or introduce themselves, who they are, and tell us what they do, and we'll get started. Start right here to my right.
I'm Ryan Carter. I have a millwright business. I've been doing it for about 18 years now.
Well, good afternoon, Adam, and my name is Mike Titus. I am a safety and risk coordinator for CoAlliance. CoAlliance is a multi-business unit company and based out of Indiana. We work in about five states, and we're predominantly our predominant units are energy, propane, agronomy, grain and swine production, and animal nutrition. So it's a fun job to be a risk and safety person for all those different business units. It's never a dull moment within our company. So thank you, and I'll pass it on to Shelton.
Thanks, Mike. I'm Ed Shelton. I work with the Purdue Ag Safety and Health Program, which is the Purdue Extension Service outreach program for safety and health and agriculture. I split my time roughly between what we would call traditional safety and health educational initiatives, emergency preparedness, and I also work with our agribility program, which works with farmers with physical disabilities. So kind of cover a broad range of stuff.
Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. We're very glad to have you all with us today. As we look across the spectrum that you all work with here, give us your perspectives or some areas where you feel producers possibly are overlooking or don't focus on safety areas. You know, what are some things that they should be looking for, or some areas that they're overlooking that they should be inspecting or looking at more carefully?
Go ahead. Well, I guess I'd start out by saying I don't think we have. There's an issue with a lack of concern for safety. I think farmers really do have a concern for safety, but I think that gets overlooked. Perhaps when we get busy, when we get either too accustomed, too used to what we're doing, perhaps, and lose sight of the hazards that are out there on the farm. Again, I don't think it's a conscious effort to avoid safety. I think it's just a matter that sometimes we get so used to what we're doing as farmers, as ag folks, that we do lose sight of the fact that farming is one of the most hazardous industries out there. We grow up with it, and unfortunately, though we all see the results when there is an injury or a fatality on the farm, and we try to, our purpose, or we hope to keep that awareness up other than just when those bad situations happen. And so hopefully we can prevent those.
Thank you, Ed. And I agree with Ed about what he had to say. There's a lot of areas, a lot of areas that within agriculture, within farming, that you can get hurt in, you know, and we do a lot of different things, livestock production and transportation, moving machinery today. Machinery gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Anhydrous ammonia is one of my biggest nemesis within my company. I hate anhydrous ammonia season because it just means that as an emergency responder, I'm going to start seeing more of those type of events. And so that's probably, if I had a single issue, it's transportation of ammonia, I think, is where we have a big problem. So grain, obviously, grain bins are dangerous, and pesticides, hog house pit gases. I think we forget how dangerous those areas are. And so, you know, I think I hate to say this because I truly think that most of our customer farmer folks, they do a pretty good job overall. I really do. I think that we have a tendency maybe to get a little complacent sometimes. You know, you have farmers out there that have put 30, 40, 50 crops in the ground, and they feel like they've pretty well got it figured out by now, you know, and they don't need some snot-nosed youngster telling them, you know, what to do and how to do it, you know. But I truly think that things have got better. Technology has gotten better. When I was a youngster growing up in our community, most farmers I knew was missing a digit, and corn pickers were brutal on hands, arms, fingers, and so forth. I thought it was normal for a farmer to be short a finger or two, and so you don't see that today. Not so much, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that we still don't have those issues, but I think they've gotten much, much better. And so, you know, when I was getting ready to do this, I got on the computer and I got to looking, and I looked at the top 10 most dangerous jobs in the United States. And from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and up into the 2020, farming fits in that top 10, always. And now it bounces around from 5th to 6th, 7th, 8th, or whatever. The latest one that I looked at was that the farmers were 8th. So they're getting better. I mean, that means we're getting better if we're in, but we're still in that top 10. And so we need to probably do a better job at that. One of the things that really kind of freaked me out a little bit when I went to look at this issue was that 44% of the accidents on the farm are tractor rollovers. In my footprint, I don't see that. But we farm, as you well know, Adam, we farm pretty flat ground, mm-hmm. you know, and so we don't see those rollovers like we do in other probably areas of the country. And so it wasn't on my radar, you know. I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's kind of different that was so high in the injury list. But I still think grain bins, that causes me an awful lot of heartburn and the ammonia issue. And so we've tried to address, maybe we're going to talk about that in a minute, maybe I'll just wait on that. But we're trying to help our the farming community and awareness. So, Ryan?
Let's make a quick comment on the ammonia. Sure. You're right. It's such a narrow window of time to get that applied, and everybody's running quick, running late, tired, and you can miss a step, and it can be deadly quickly with that product.
You know, Adam, and the other issue is that cab of that tractor has become an office. They can have their computer. They have a lot of computers in that cab, and they've got auto steer, and they've got GPS and all the different gizmos and gadgets, and they can buy and sell corn, and they can get their fertilizer coming, and they can do their banking and everything right there from the cab of the tractor. And so I think one of the issues could be that maybe the focus of what we're doing at hand, and anhydrous is one where we need to be focused on that rather than something else. So.
I guess on my perspective of it, the more of the grain side, who would be the grain bin safety? I don't want to say not so much this year, but you know, a couple years ago, harvested wet corn, put it in the bin, went out of condition pretty quick, and there was a lot of accidents after that. So that would be, I guess, on my side, would be one of the big things would be the grain bin safety. Guys getting in the bins and not having another set of hands or somebody there watching what they're doing, and then they don't come out of the bin. So I guess that's my big thing.
Yeah, and unfortunately we've had some of that here in our community. In fact, people that we know, especially Ryan and I know, just a neighbor just down the road didn't make it out of the bin. Because he didn't tell anybody he was getting in it. So he was there by himself and didn't have any of the safety apparatus now that they tell guys to And I know it sounds stupid, and a lot of guys will look at you and say, why do I want to tie a rope on the inside of my grain bin? There's a reason. Because if you do get sucked down in it, they can find you at least. If you've got it attached to you with a harness, I mean, at least they've got something to have a good idea where you're at. But we've seen a lot of that, unfortunately. And tractor rollovers, like what you were talking about, I was reading and did the same thing. I got on and did a lot of research and found that I was sort of shocked as well to see that that was the number one. But they were saying here in Indiana, it's a lot of the guys mowing side ditches because they're mowing side ditches with tractors that don't have cabs. You know, they're using, it's a lot of the smaller tractors or the antique tractors, which, you know, my family is huge into antique tractors. And it's a lot of that because they're not, there's no roll cage. There's nothing there to, or there may be a roll cage, but maybe they didn't fasten that safety belt, you know, to keep them in that seat. Like some of the more newer, I think newer apparatus actually have seat belts in them now that a lot of them didn't have. So some of that safety aspect's just not there.
Thanks for bringing that up. You actually said what I was going to say in regards to the tractor rollover issue. One of the things about agriculture and farming is we have a lot of folks that maybe don't do it full-time. We've got a lot of part-time farmers out there. We've got we also have a lot of elderly farmers. Use my words carefully, but
seasoned.
That's it. And we also tend to see, as let's talk about the older equipment. It doesn't go away most of the time. There's an older tractor that's maybe not get used every day, but on the roadsides or hooked up to an auger or something like that. So we don't tend to send things down the road. Even on some of our bigger farms, there's still a little tractor or two sitting around that may not have the ROPS or the safety equipment. But you mentioned the mowing the roadsides, and this is unscientific. This is just from looking at several years of injury and fatality data where the stereotypical scenario is grandpa's out mowing roadsides because it's something for him to do on the old tractor, and for whatever reason that day is different than the 100 times he's done it before and ends up rolling the tractor into the ditch or the pond or whatever. So that is the seasoned farmers is an issue that we have on the farm. I mean, we certainly want our elders to still be involved, and they want to be, but sometimes the reaction times aren't there. We lose a step, and so that's something we need to be aware of as agriculturalists, that it's a population that is disproportionate in its numbers of when we look at fatalities and injuries.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Likewise, youth are the same.
Yeah, that's so what I was going to say. It's said the two biggest categories of fatalities, especially fatalities. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, there's a lot of accidents that don't get reported, but specifically in the fatalities, 5 and under is one category, but the largest category is 60 and up. It's the ones in between there that seem to be the safest percentage. And, you know, that goes back, and I'm going to be 60. I'll say it. I have no problem telling people how old I am. And, but I'm going to be 60, so I'm in that age category. And, I'll guarantee you that I'm not as quick as what I used to be. And there may be something that I'll forget. I mean, granted, we no longer farm. We decided to turn the farming over to my brother-in-law, and because my husband was, it came down to where he was running the semis, because we put the semis on the road in the off-season just for the extra income, and that ended up growing and getting so large that he became from a full-time farmer to a almost hobby farmer on the weekends, a part-time farmer. So we opted out of that part of it, and he runs the trucks, and His brother's family runs the farming, runs the grain part of it. So, but yeah, there's no way my tractor reaction time would be what it was when I was younger. I can guarantee that, and I know the kids can guarantee that by me throwing them off the wagon every once in a while when we bail. So, but, you know, I know for you, this is something that you do for a living, all the research and developing and the new in engineering and everything, Mr. Sheldon. And then also, Mike, you've been dealing with chemicals and the grain side of everything, Co-Alliance, for years. I know you've been with them for a very long time. For Ryan, being a millwright, and you go out, you do a lot of the repairs on all this equipment and stuff, not only the grain setups, but also on equipment itself. And you've seen the technology just in that area, because I don't know, I can't even tell you how many grain legs you put up in the last 5 years, but it scares me every time I see you go up the ladder or go up in the lift when you're putting them up. But you've seen technology change quite a bit. I know all of you have. So why don't we talk a little bit about the technology that you guys have seen and the changes that you've seen from some of the older setups to the newer setups and equipment and with chemical handling, all of it. Ryan, we'll start with you. Why don't you talk a little bit about the what you've seen new, just you know, going in and doing repairs of old equipment, and then the new stuff that you've been putting up.
To start with, the grain legs, they all now have safety cages on them. I've climbed up a few that 80 feet tall, no safety cage. It's got that safety cable where you're supposed to put a belt around it, but the belt's disintegrated, and you just climb up the ladder, and it gets kind of a little leery about 50 feet up, and you don't look down. And I've been up a few legs that I won't go back up. So on that aspect, safety cages, definitely a new technology. That doesn't seem like much, but temperature cables in grain bins has really evolved. You can turn your fans on by your phone now. You can get all your readings from your bins right to your iPad, your phone, and if you got a hot spot, if you're driving down the road, I wouldn't recommend driving down the road in checking your grain bin temperatures, of course, but you can turn your fans on and cool a bin out. So that's one of the major things.
Cool. What about shut off capabilities of legs, augers? What have you seen evolve over the years on that?
There's they're remote controlled. A lot of guys have remote controls on their like their loadout hopper tanks. They pull underneath there at the semi. I seen one guy, he had a camera set up. Other guys have had mirrors set up. They just stay in the truck, and when it's full, they flick a button, and the gate shuts. So, and then there's a lot of, like, dryers, automatic settings for the dryers, legs, to where you can, once the, if the wet bin's empty, and the dryer shuts off, it'll automatically shut off the leg, blower system, or whatever is working with it.
So with the aging, the seasoning of our population of farmers, being able to stay in the truck and load it, I mean, that's got to be a tremendous savings on hips and backs and knees from having to get in and out of trucks constantly and turn that stuff on and off or climb up to the overhead and open and close the chute and then pull the truck up. That's got to be a tremendous savings for health on those guys.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I just turned 40 this year, and I actually loaded a semi yesterday evening. And just jumping out of the cab and pulling it up a little bit, filling it from an auger, and then when you get to the last section of the semi-trailer and you have to run around and shut everything off before it overflows, it would be really nice to have an overhead with a shut-off. All you got to do is push a button.
You probably know a guy that could do that, don't you?
Yeah, but I know the farmer, too, that I was working for, and I don't think that's in the plan. So.
In other words, he's trying to hint to his dad that he needs to do that.
Steve, did you get the message?
Mike, why don't you look at how CoAlliance handles the new, what's new with that company and safety?
Well, Adam, there's a number of new technologies out there, and, you know, they're generally geared. Some folks look at them as a hindrance or look at them as a nuisance, but most all these things that come to the marketplace have value, especially in the technology of safety. And so one thing that comes to mind, because we've not really talked about it today, was pesticides. There are systems out there, Gramoxone for one, in 2020 changed their whole program and have a closed system type distribution system. So even the 2.5 gallon jugs have a special cap that goes on it, and it goes into an adapter so that we're not. And part of that is that they were folks out there that was dumping Gramoxone in a water bottle like we have sitting out on the table, and then somebody comes along and decides that it's Kool-Aid or something, you know. And there were numerous deaths, and so the US EPA got involved here a couple years ago. That's one product that requires not only a certified applicator to apply it, but then they have to have a half hour of additional training and be certified for Gramoxone alone. And so I think we'll see more and more of that as we go into the future, that there'll be some requirements for, yeah, you're a certified applicator, we get all that, you're supposed to know what you're doing, but we want you to, the Dicamba products right now require an additional little bit of training with it. You know, maybe not as much for safety as maybe the safety of drift and causing damage to somebody else, but there's still some good safety things out there. I'm an old timer, so I remember when we had applicators that didn't have cabs on them, and now we have all our applicators have it's a safe haven for that applicator to set inside. You know, it has charcoal filters, and you know, it's designed to protect that driver from the pesticides as we're applying them. And so there's that technology. There's all kinds of things going on today that like Ryan talked about. All of our elevators now have watchdogs on all the legs. So we're monitoring bearings, we're monitoring belt alignment, we're monitoring speed and some of those kinds of things. And, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, we didn't have those options to make sure that our system was running correctly and that we didn't have an issue. So there's a lot of different things out there that have been beneficial. I like what Ryan said, and I think that there's huge value to that, but I'm a safety guy and I get paid to worry. And so my worry in that type of situation is that somebody like Ryan that shows up that's going to do work for me now, that he locks and tags things out, because it can be remotely started from anywhere, as you said, you know. And so maybe somebody's going to run a little grain up in the overhead, and he's there to change a belt, and so he's got his hands in harm's way, and somebody pushes the button. And so we're going to have to learn, you know, and be sure that we're following some of those rules. I think farmers have a conception that they're not really regulated by OSHA, and there are some areas that they do have some exemptions or some limitations. But if you have a certain amount of employees, which a lot of our farms are getting there today, you know, or you have a fatality or something like that, I guarantee you OSHA is probably going to show up. And so we need to try to do the right things there as well. So there's a lot of things, and I'll let Ed talk a little bit about it as well, but there's no question that the safety agriculture has come so far in the last 10 years. I mean, huge, you know, or 20 years maybe, but it's really pushed forward, and the safety piece of it has come right along with the rest of it, I think. You know, at the university, they're spending a lot of time on trying to figure some of that stuff out and how to make it better. And so, you know, and it's being applicated within the industry. So
I think we're going to take a quick break and let our sponsors have their say here in just a minute. We'll take a real quick break. We'll be back. We're going to talk to Mr. Sheldon. We're going to talk a little bit about what agribility is, and also what he sees as some of the trends, how trends are going down in a lot of areas. And we'll come back and talk to our experts about what they can do, what we can do for preventative as well. This is Ag Day on WILO and Hoosier Land TV.